I invite you to turn in your pew Bibles to page 26, because on page 26 we will unpack this passage from Genesis chapter 32, and we will expand upon it a little bit. If this is not my favorite passage in the Bible, it certainly contains what I consider to be a powerful truth. And if the sermon police happen to show up and file charges against me for allegedly preaching on this story too much, I will gladly plead guilty. So I ask for your indulgence this morning. There are words in here which I find comforting in the midst of the stress I often feel, not simply as a priest, but as a husband and a father, a brother, a son, a friend. And I've said it here before, if the priesthood were taken away from me, I would be okay with that. If my baptism and my relationship with Jesus Christ were, I would not be okay with that. So this is from whence I'm coming. This is a story about Jacob. And Jacob may be someone we already know. His story is spread across many chapters of Genesis, and it moves into the New Testament because we know that Jesus was from the family line of Jacob. He is a very important person. We learned about him first, Jacob, in his mother's womb, in Rebekah's womb, in sort of a biblical sonogram. Before we knew what his name was, we knew that he and his twin brother inside of Rebekah's womb, they were struggling. There was this fighting going on. And Rebekah said, if it's going to be like this, God, go ahead and kill me. Minor adjustment to the translation. She says, why would I want to go on living? Jacob is the younger of twin sons born to Rebekah and Isaac. Esau entered the world first. Esau means red. He has this red hair all over him. And Jacob enters by grabbing hold of Esau's heel. The name Jacob literally means heel grabber. And we understand that to be deceiver. And as we read his story, we see how Jacob goes through much of his life living up to his name. He's a heel grabber. He tries to pull others down in order to raise himself up. And the reason he did that, because in Jacob's culture, as in much of the biblical world, it was the older son who received the lion's share of the father's inheritance. That is much of the reason that Isaac loved Esau more than he loved Jacob. Esau also seems to be more manly than Jacob, which is something that we could talk about in a Bible study. This could be a good example of toxic masculinity. But the overall point here is that Esau is Isaac's favorite child, and Jacob was Rebekah's favorite child. Jacob hung out at the tents with the women. And no, just because we read of something in the Bible, that doesn't make it right. The Bible often tells us horrible things about ourselves, about humanity, and when we see something that's not right, we need to recognize it as such. We'll see a lot of sexism through here. Just take it how it is, judge it for what it is, and then we'll work with that. You see, for Jacob, he is raised knowing that his father does not love him as much as his father loves his brother. So Jacob is jealous of that fact, the fact that his father will give his brother a blessing at some point in his life, and there will be no blessing for him, at least not one of equal value. What bothers Jacob even more is that Esau, the older brother who's entitled to everything, Esau acts as if he couldn't care less about what is destined to come his way. Factor all of these things together, and that's why Jacob deceives. That's why he tricks Esau into selling him his birthright. And that is why Jacob deceives Isaac, his earthly father, into blessing him and not Esau. Jacob lied about who he was. He passed himself off as someone he wasn't in order to get something that he thought he wanted. And when Esau is enraged to the point of this trickery that he decides he's going to kill Jacob, Jacob decides to run away from his problems. At least he tries to run away from his problems. Dysfunctional family. Jacob flees to his uncle's village, his mother's brother's village, falls in love with a beautiful young woman named Rachel, his cousin. Jacob agrees to work for his uncle for 7 years so that he can marry Rachel. And after the wedding feast, now this is where we have to use our holy imaginations. What goes on at a wedding feast? Are we all drinking water? No, probably not. And so the next morning, Jacob wakes up and he thinks, at least he went to bed thinking he'd been with Rachel, only to discover the next morning that it was actually Rachel's older sister, Leah. Now, Leah is a Hebrew word, a name. I'm just going to tell you like it is. It's a word that means cow. The name Leah means cow, and Scripture says she has pretty eyes, which in our culture, in a bad way, we would say that she has a nice personality. She's a good dancer, stuff like that. Are you following me? Are you getting this? We're getting into this story. You see, Jacob's uncle Laban had tricked Jacob much in the way that Jacob deceived other people. Seems to be a family trait. And so Jacob has to work another 7 years to marry Rachel. So after more than 20 years of working for his uncle and making his uncle rich and acquiring a lot of good stuff for himself and too, and having many children, most of them by the first wife and their slave girls, Jacob decides that he can't do this anymore. He can't stay under Laban's control. So to make a long story short, he and all his family start heading back to his family of origin, despite the fact that his older brother had threatened to kill him many years before. See, that happens, well, maybe not in that great detail, but that happens with each and every one of us. There comes a point in time when we can no longer run from our problems, problems much of which we've created ourselves. We have to face up to them. So Jacob and his entourage start heading back to his home. This morning's passage from Genesis takes place right before Jacob reunites with his family. In verse 24 of chapter 32, we read that Jacob is alone and a man, we have to give that air quotes, a man wrestled with him, more wrestling, a man wrestled with him until daybreak. In his solitude, in darkness, Jacob struggles with this unidentified man. And we suspect Jacob is anxious not only about meeting with his brother the next day after so many years apart, but about the reasons for their separations to begin with. The deception, the hard feelings, the jealousy, the threats of violence. There was that, but Jacob also was thinking about how difficult his life had become while living under his uncle's scheming ways. Life is messy. We can make our lives look really good on social media. You know? A little nice post there. I think we all know by now that we can give the world a completely false impression of who we are and how well we're doing. And we post thinking that people will buy it. But we know deep down, we know they don't. People see right through our gloss and into our pain. And the reason they can do that is because that experience is theirs as well. So our story is Jacob's story. We are complicated, messy, wonderful people. And we wrestle in the dark moments of our lives with an entity that apparently we can't overcome, and we have the scars to show it. Look what it says in verse 25. We read that when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, the man struck Jacob on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob walked with a limp after this wrestling match. Anybody here walk with a limp? Literally or metaphorically? Because the wrestling matches we have in life leave us walking differently afterwards. After much wrestling, Jacob is worn down to the point where he drops this facade. And we have to remember that in his effort to find the blessing from his earthly father, when he was looking for that love, that validation, the words his earthly father, he thought would fill his soul, that void in there, Jacob at first had to lie about who he was to hear the words that he longed to hear. So Jacob dressed up like his brother Esau to receive his earthly father's validation. And Isaac, who is dim in the eyes, he's getting close to death, he can't see that well, he can't make good judgment, but he still knew something was a little off, and so Isaac asked Jacob, what's your name? You kind of smell like Esau, but you know, maybe not. Well, Jacob lied and passed himself off as someone else. And the lie brought from Isaac words that Jacob wanted to hear. He got a blessing, but over the course of time, those words rang hollow because they were meant for Esau and not Jacob. So back to this story. More than two decades have passed, and Jacob still needs to hear that he is worthy of love, that he has value in somebody else's eyes, that he doesn't need to go through life lying about who he is to get what he knows he needs. That emptiness needs to be filled. So the unidentified man in this wrestling orders Jacob, let me go. Let me go. But Jacob can't. He says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let go of you. I'm not going to let go of grief until I can see something good is going to come out of this. I can't go anymore. I can't go on anymore like this. Go ahead, tear out my other hip, break some joints, break some bones, whatever. I just can't do this. I need somebody to tell me truthfully that they love me. And the man then asked Jacob the same question that Isaac had asked him years before. Okay, what's your name? So here's the thing with this story and with that question. It's not just the name the man wants to know. The deeper question is, who are you? What's your character? How have you been living in this life? How have you been trying to cope with the struggles, with the unfairness, with the injustice? How are you doing with all that? You see, and when the questions turn back on the man, and Jacob says, what's your name? Why do you want to know my name? We just kind of get a question, but then we get the character, which is the blessing. God's character is to bless. But with this question to Jacob, what's your name? Whereas he lied before, this time he says, I'm Jacob. I'm the heel grabber. I'm the deceiver. I'm the trickster. I've gone through life lying about who I am. And I thought that was working well for me, but once I realized that nobody else was being honest with me, I can't do this anymore. And then the man says, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have strived with God and with humans and have prevailed. These are the words which give me great comfort. As I said, the man with whom Jacob wrestled was either God or an angel of the Lord, and the wrestling Jacob engaged in is something we do. The wrestling often changes the way we journey through this life, but guess what? The wrestling is not in vain. Look at the new name. The name Israel means one who strives with God and humanity and prevails. Now, I'd really like to stand up here every Sunday and assure you that none of us would ever have to go through strife or conflict. There would be no battles. There's no quarreling about God. There's no quarreling with other human beings. And yet, that is precisely what we do most every day, if not every day. So when that happens, we ask, we pull out the stock questions. First one being, why would God allow? And then we fill in the blanks, and then there's that striving with God, struggling, wrestling with God. And then comes the wrestling with humanity. The question begins, how can humanity, how can the human race be so? And then we fill in the blanks. But we all know the truth. Life is a struggle. Life is a wrestling match which inflicts its toll on us, and we cling tightly in the darkness, in our solitude, to the man, to the Lord, looking desperately, waiting to hear words of validation, comfort, blessing, and love. The good news is that when we're worn down enough to drop the facade, when we can't help but to be honest with God about what we need, and more importantly, who we are, when we give up, that's when God speaks. And that's when God tells us that our striving is not in vain. Instead, we are blessed. Crucifixion gives way to resurrection. And we see that the strife culminates in victory. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.